Apocalypse, Mr. Mannheim.
Who are you?
Your new lord and master. You may call me Darkseid.
Lay out your Gibbs suit for tonight. You and I are going to the Bondage Club to find some weird tale in the future. You're listening to Darkseid's Couch. I'm Mike.
This is James.
I'm Shay.
Shay's having a sandwich.
I'm so fucking hungry.
Dude, wow. It looks so good. I'm starving too. I'm always hungry.
Yeah.
That was good, Mike.
Metabolisms are off the chart. It's a problem.
Hey, you want abs though, right? You want to have abs.
Are we getting more metabolistic? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know.
Shay isn't in the same zip code as her microphone. Get in on that.
I am too. I'm right here.
There you go.
You weren't. I was watching you. You weren't.
Way better now. Yeah, I'm looking at you. That sounds way better, Shay.
Yeah, okay. You can't lie.
My bad. I guess I moved too far away when I was trying not to crunch into the mic.
No, but anxiety. I wanted to hear it, though. I wanted to live vicariously through you eating.
Do you want me to keep eating?
Yeah, of course I do.
We can get some weird ASMR shit going on while we read comic books?
Yeah, let's get on that level.
Yeah, I want
make
that.
Me even more popular.
Uh-huh. I told her that she was someone popular. Kink. It's already going to her head.
Yep. No, I was saying it's someone's kink.
I just want to hear people eating food because I can't have any food. I'm starving.
Well, this is actually something I was going to mention here. I've been eating nonstop because, and I haven't mentioned this on the show, and I don't think Mike knows about it.
You're having a baby?
I am having a little bit of a baby, a marathon baby. I'm running the Milwaukee Marathon on Saturday.
Oh, in a couple days here. Cool.
So I've just been just gorging on sweet potatoes and rice and all that kind of stuff. For those of you who haven't been listening in, we did a whole thing last year about the Chicago Marathon, my first marathon. And this year we're doing absolutely nothing about it. Not a goddamn thing. I'm just going to run it and come back and I'll tell you how I did. So it's about as simple as that. But that's why we're recording today instead of tomorrow, because tomorrow I got to go sit in my lonely hotel room in Milwaukee and wait to get up at 5 a.m. and go run a marathon.
Oh, I love hotel rooms though.
Oh my God, I'm so sick of hotel rooms.
Really get to watch cable. When do you ever do that?
Well, I rarely, because, you know, I've canceled cable because I don't need it.
I know, but like now it's like a strange experience.
Nah, because I just turn
TV.
On I watch like Tubi or something like that. You can watch the free channels.
I went to Grand Rapids last weekend and the hotel, I forgot about Bosley hair replacement.
Oh yeah.
I never forgot about that.
And we saw so many of them first off, and they have updated, but some of the people they use are still pictures from the original commercials.
Are those people still doing well? They still got full head of hair?
It's the same picture.
Do you think more people are going bald than before?
I don't think more people. Well, are they going... Well, are you saying... Because now there's treatments. So it's like, are you saying that people are going bald, but they're getting treated? Or just more people in general are starting to go bald?
Both.
There's probably more radiation.
Like all the plastic in the water.
Toxicity and things. Yeah, there's probably more. I don't know. While Shay was in Milwaukee, she did pick up some comics for me.
I wasn't in Milwaukee. I was in Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids are the same town. It doesn't
matter. No, they're not.
Cities are fake.
Yeah, I agree.
She got me, put this on the video.
I got James / everybody these, but they're going to live with James.
The first issue of Quantum Leap there. We got that from Innovation Comics.
It's sick.
And then I got... I don't really want this, but I've got five big issues of Kickers Incorporated here.
Hey, wow.
Including some we've done and some we haven't. So what I did notice in here, and you guys can kind of see this, is the cover box, the corner box where they put the little corner artwork in there. It's always Magna Conte in the same pose, but they slightly changed how he looks over the course of it. They changed his haircut. They changed his neckerchief color and they changed his pants and boots. But it's still the same. They clearly just like pasted new assets onto it. Magna Conte had an arc after all over the course of Kickers Incorporated. So I don't know. It got me thinking that maybe after the next episode, because the next episode's a special one, maybe we should. Maybe it's time to revisit Kickers, see what the next step is there, because it's been a while.
And if I hadn't have picked up those paper issues, we wouldn't have found that out.
Oh, about the cover boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the I wouldn't normally think about it. The corner boxes were cool.
And those one of the issues is the Cocaine Clowns Circus issue that we did, our first.
Clown time is over.
Right, that was our first.
I still don't understand what that, I don't know. I don't listen to this show. I don't care for it. leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So those are the things that are going on. And I guess we'll talk more about that next time. But this time, we got to talk about the future, where apparently, yeah, everyone's in gimp suits. Everybody's looking really good. Mm-hmm. A bunch of twinked out dudes.
You keep saying that, but they're muscular.
Yeah, I don't think you know what a twink means.
Yeah, I don't think you know what...
Twinks can be... First of all, no, there are some
guys
in here
that are absolute
twinks.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
And twinks can be muscular. They just have to be lean and muscular. You can be lean and muscular. You just can't be bulky or hairy.
You need to look like a teenage boy. That's
Have you seen teenage boys nowadays? They're looking pretty built.
Well, no, I'm not saying yet of the teenage boy thing, but no, it does not matter. Yeah, no.
Shay,
you're
what
wrong.
Do you think about how? What do you think about how teenage boys look nowadays?
I just said no. It's not about that. I immediately pushed that away.
18 counts. 18 is a teenager.
18 Jesus Christ!
You're lost after that. Boy.
Nope. I don't like where this is going at all. So we're just going to fucking bypass it.
Watch that new Spider-Man with that guy who looks like he's like 13.
Is there another new Spider-Man?
You know, I could just cut this that I'm editing the podcast, right? Mm-hmm.
What's his name? That guy.
New Spider-Man? There's no new Spider-Man.
Yeah, the latest one. The one they've been doing recently.
The Into the Spider-Verse movie?
No, the actor.
Are you talking
the
about
little
Tom
British.
Holland?
Yeah, Tom Holland.
That's true. You genuinely don't know who the person is.
I know who Tom Holland is. Yeah, he was a twink. He was a twink, and
still
now
is.
he's a middle-aged man.
No, he's not. He looks exactly the same because he made a deal with Satan to be a Hollywood actor.
Oh, the $2,000 devil?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just for inflation.
They got to put him in like a... They got to dress him like a tooth fairy for his humiliation ritual so he can keep making movies.
Oh, but he's starting to like it. He's starting to get into the humiliation.
That's how they get weird. That's how they get you.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you get it too complicated.
Uh-huh.
Keep it simple.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a journey into the stinky underbelly of the world of public domain comics here. Came up on the wheel last time.
Yeah, Weird Tales of the Future.
Yeah, at comicbookplus.com, a host for a lot of weird public domain comic books. We're going to put a banner up there,
I think. Yeah, we're gonna give them money to advertise for us, and we'll get a bunch of creeps.
Mickey.
What the fuck?
We like the creeps. We love the creeps. If you have a graphic design skills going and you want to make us a nice billboard, a billboard-friendly image that we can throw up there. Nothing obscene, nothing X-rated. Otherwise, I'll just throw something together, but I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But yeah, we should definitely throw a billboard up there and see if we get a couple creeps. We'll siphon off a couple creeps from Comic Plus.
You know, there'll be compensation.
There will be?
I don't think it's fair to say give us your art so that we can advertise with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fair to say that.
Yeah, that's what we want. Do you want to help or not?
People can also say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, they're going to not do it.
Yeah,
I got 10 big bucks.
All right, yeah, I'll give you $10.
Ten's going to hook you up with the 10 spot.
I'm not.
That'll get you a half a gallon of gas. I don't know how much gas is nowadays. Fuck that shit.
No, you stop buying gas and start buying lottery tickets.
Start buying lotto tickets and Bitcoin. Get more Bitcoin. You got to get it now.
Really?
No.
Probably.
Is now a good time to get Bitcoin?
Shay apparently knows more about this than I do.
I thought it was still stupid expensive.
Yeah.
What if it goes up even higher?
But it's halving right now, and traditionally, after about a year after it's halved, it's gone to even bigger heights. But
what is halved?
Halved?
This is in the crypto report, but basically halved. Yeah, the supply of Bitcoin halves periodically because it's a finite supply, and it lowers the incentive for people to mine it, and it just creates higher demand. And at the end of the day, it usually ends up resulting in the price shooting much, much higher, but only after a period of a lot of volatility. So it's probably going to be very volatile for a while, but probably a year from now, we're going to be looking at this time as it being fairly cheap.
Hmm.
This is not financial advice. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're just asking questions?
I'm just asking questions.
We'll
I just
put
want
my
to know.
Whole life into Bitcoin.
I have great question on it.
Yeah.
Just roll the dice.
You should have done it a while ago.
No, just do it now. Fuck it. What if something else happens?
It'll probably go up. It's probably going to go up. I don't know how much more, but it's probably going to go up still a good chunk. So we'll see what happens.
I think the whole world's going to use Bitcoin one of these days. I think that's just what we're going to do.
I mean, you can already go to Bitcoin ATMs and stuff. You can still like go bowling and pay for it with Bitcoin and stuff like that. Like, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. But then they can just turn it off whenever you question the government.
Yep. They can already do that.
Just turn off your money.
Well, Bitcoin's not run by the government. So it's just some shady tech bro can turn it off.
It's going to be, well, that shady tech bro rules the world in his own way. You control the currency.
He owns Twitter.
Yeah. Jack Dorsey. Elon. Oh, no, it's Elon Musk now.
Elon Musk rules the world.
Yeah, he does. He knows, rules my world. Rules and rocks my world.
Yeah. Ew.
So this is a book about how everybody's using Bitcoin in the future.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a utopia.
It's a utopian society where all the men are sexy. They're all wearing high-waisted trunks. Yeah. It's just a lot of good-looking men. Mm-hmm. And maybe some women. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I doubt it.
Yeah, who cares? Weird Tales of the Future. It's published by Argon Publications. Ran for 20 big issues. No idea why we had this on the wheel. Maybe a leftover from Halloween or something like that?
I don't know.
This is issue 2 from 1952, the greatest decade. Yeah,
we
have a cover.
We got an extra 2.
Oh, yeah, 2 and 52.
Yeah, we got an extra 2.
Yeah,
look at us, huh? Already ahead.
That's notable.
That'll be the new crypto.
I don't know what you're saying. I think you don't know what crypto is. You're just saying the word crypto because sometimes it's going to be...
It's just putting value on something as a currency. So, like, you can technically do that with anything. You can do that with clam shells.
With pine cones and shit, yeah. Conch shells. Yeah, we do that all the time.
Right.
I mean, comic books themselves are a form of Bitcoin. You trade those. You can live off your old comic book collection.
Yeah.
I got a few bucks. I got a few bucks for some old Spider-Mans back in the day.
What comic do you have that's worth the most?
I know mine.
What's yours?
The first appearance of Bishop.
You got to get that slabbed.
Who's Bishop?
Who's Bishop? Yeah, he's
the X-Men dude who looks like Worf from Star Trek. Yeah, he's basically Worf. He's basically like they just basically wanted Worf. Their own Worf.
Okay. I've admitted before that I have a huge blind spot with X-Men.
He's got a kick-ass Jerry curl. Yeah, the only X-Men with a Jerry curl.
Yeah, the new cartoon got rid of it because I don't know why. Oh, no. They just thought it wasn't cool.
Yeah, I don't. How much is that worth? How much is that going for?
Nothing, probably.
Like $20. Yeah. I don't know. I have a few. I have a first. We actually mentioned this on the show many years ago, back in the early '90s when we started this show. I got the Harley Quinn Mad Love, the original book with the Alex Ross cover, slabbed a while ago. It came back as a 9.8. So that's worth, I don't know, it was worth a few $100 back in the day. I don't know if it's more or less right now.
Probably nothing.
Well, why would it be nothing?
Well, they're all worthless in their own, and like intrinsically, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intrinsically?
I don't know if that's the right word.
I don't know what word you're looking for. I don't know. I mean, Harley's as popular as ever, so I don't know. I really don't know, but that's probably the most expensive one I currently have. I don't have a lot of, like, rare, super expensive comics. I got probably a lot of copies of Spawn number 1 sitting around, though.
I say what's going to be, it's going to be worth money is those Kickers books you just got.
Yeah, they're going to come back around. Magna Conte is entering the MCU any day now.
And they're worth so much money that Shay's going to resent you because she gave you the books and she didn't keep them for herself.
No, she's going to resent me for other reasons. That's going to be her justification.
She's seething.
I paid $8 for that Quantum Leap.
Magna Conte.
Really? $8? No. Wow.
Was it seriously? The Quantum Leap was $8?
This is number one.
But I'm not even going to read it.
Well, I guess you're not supposed to. You're supposed to get it appraised and like sealed.
Dude, so this ain't worth anything. You shouldn't have spent this much money.
No, it was worth it. Because we'll probably end up doing it.
Mm-hmm. In like 50 years, you'll like pay
it's
for your
set
grandkids.
3 days before the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Stop justifying your decision and let Mike finish what he's saying.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's start the comic.
Okay.
Unless we have some business.
No, I don't think we really got. I think I already hit the business with the marathon, so I'm in a carb coma right now. I ate a lot of sweet potatoes and rice. And
man, I guess start running marathons if you want to eat.
Yeah, it's never enough. It's never enough. Weird Tales of the Future number 2. We got a cover that has nothing to do with anything that we see inside the book.
Nope.
It appears to be so. Obviously, the credits throughout this book are kind of dicey, but there's a dude who I didn't really know, Basil Wolverton.
Ah, what a cool name.
It's a pretty cool name. And he is, we'll see in one of the stories, the Jumpin' Jupiter story. He's got a very sort of Mad Magazine kind of style, which I believe he ended up working for. He may have also written some of these, and I believe he did the cover here. But his fingerprints are all over this book.
That's what you want your butler to be named.
Basil Wolverton? Wolverton, because you can call him by his first or last name. Mm-hmm. Like, you can use whatever name you like to beckon him. That's pretty cool.
That's so weird, beckoning your butler.
Did people really do that?
They did.
I kind of feel like it's just sort of like...
Else do you think the butler got there?
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of feel like they just have assigned tasks and they get them done. And,
oh, you think
and
butlers are fake news?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. I just can't see it in this day and age.
Fake as the moon land.
There's just yeah. a dude hanging out at your house for you to yell at anytime you need something. That uh-huh. just seems...
That's his whole life. This is your servant.
It just seems crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what kids are to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the cover here, we got this like creature from the Black Lagoon looking character.
Mm-hmm. You know, would really stop him, Charles Barkley in a basketball.
Yep. Well, yeah, he could have bunked him right in the face like he did with Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. But he couldn't grow big because they switched to Bitcoin and you couldn't find an actual coin to grow big with.
He needed a magical Bitcoin with magical properties. Yeah, and but he couldn't find one.
It doesn't physically exist. He has to hold it. So his basketball can get big with him.
How many old people do you think that bitcoins are physical things and you can run?
Probably me. Whatever my age is.
I think anyone over 50, if you had a physical coin that you said was a bitcoin, they would believe you and you could sell it to them at a discount rate. That's probably a good scam you can run.
My dad asked me, "What is a podcast?" every time I see him.
Well, you give them a different answer every time. You lie to them.
It's the same answer. It's like a radio show, but it's on the internet. Because he doesn't know what a website is either, so he can't imagine it.
Well, it doesn't seem like other people are finding it any easier than he is. It's still a borderline impossible podcast to find.
Don't your parents not have internet?
No, my mom does on her phone, obviously, but my dad doesn't even have a phone.
Oh, wow. So they could like gather around your mom's phone at the kitchen table to listen to the show.
I guess. Well, they don't know I have a show. It's just whenever like they bring up Joe Rogan on the news, my dad's like, "What's a podcast?"
Mm. What the fuck is a podcast? So after all this time, they still don't know that you do a podcast with us?
No, I don't tell my parents anything that I do. Nice. They're not interested.
Nice. Yeah, that is the
They're concerned
is.
Like, are you working? That's it. Yeah. As long as like I can tell them like, "Yep, I'm working." They're like, "All right, son's doing fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. We can die now." Let's get into the first story. We got a whole bevy of stories here. This first one is called The City of Primitive Man. I've got art credits by an Ed Small or Ed Smalley, but I have no writing credits. I assume it was written by our old buddy Merklin because the narrator hates science in this book. This is another anti-science, pro-getting jacked book.
Maybe it's Alan Smithy.
Yeah, Alan Smithy.
Yeah, and so in this book, this takes place in the city of Thyroid. It's a city of Thyroid.
I mean, that kind of fits.
Yeah, that might be where it's coming from, honestly.
Oh, right. Yeah. Very clever writer. Oh, yeah, I see what you did there.
Good job. Somebody should have taken credit for this
Good job, Alan.
And so in this story, it's set in the future, as all of these are, and we've got this town. An evolution has reached its apex where everyone is hyper-intelligent, but they have no emotional intelligence, and none of them are in shape.
It sounds like Gen Z.
Yeah. It sounds like America in 2024, if you ask me.
Dude, that's what these kids are like to me.
Just weak, soft
just
kids.
Just weak, like emotionally, just like all fucked up.
I think the divide is getting very split. Like there's half that are just completely fucked up and weak and half that are a physical danger to anyone around them.
Yeah. You got
to
toughen up. You got like, yeah, and they're going to breed.
Yeah. There's no middle ground.
These weak people, they're breeding.
Yeah, it can't just be a normal, well-adjusted person. You gotta fit in one camp or the other and they're both horrible.
Dude, it's like a time machine. Future. That's what the people were like in the beginning to the future. They were all small and weak.
Yep. And so in this city, we've got this dude, Dr. Will Bran.
Dr. Chad Chaddington.
He is the ultimate bemmer.
Is he Bran? Dr. Bran is a little weird. And then with the writing of all of these comics, I went, is it supposed to be Dr. Brain?
No, I think it's a combination of brain and brawn. Dr. Bran.
Oh, there we go. We're going to call him Dr. Bemmer.
Dr. Bemmer.
Because this dude has the brains, the emotion, and the muscles, and he wants everyone else to have it too.
Yes.
Yep, and he got himself a Stacy.
He's got
this
little
comic
Stacy.
Gives some weird xenophobic vibes, though.
I mean, everything does. Everything is in its own way. That's what the apex of our society is right now, is just people being...
Weird tribalism.
Yeah, weird tribalism.
Xing people out. Yeah, you can't have that person.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying.
Got us this far.
Yeah.
Like, if we didn't do that, like, we wouldn't be here now.
Yeah, we'll see all that as we go. So Dr. Bem here, he is talking to his Stacy, and he is lamenting what a shitty society they are, where everyone's just a bunch of fucking emotionless nerds.
Yeah, look at these nerds, huh?
Yep.
He flexes for her.
Stacy actually mentions, like, you say we're different because we work hard and exercise.
Based.
And it's been like that a long time.
Based. This is such a based story.
This is pretty. This is the moment where we're like, okay, it is very based.
It's super based.
Explain.
Shit.
Dude, the least based thing I could do is explain why something is based.
No, no, none of that.
It just is, Shay.
No, explain. Shay. No, it can't. It can't be just is. You can't say you can't
they're,
explain.
They're doing based shit. They're making based decisions.
How?
The based thing to say.
You can't use the word based to define the word based.
I mean, you don't know shit about the future.
I mean, being better than your weak neighbors because you work hard and exercise is based.
Doing what you got to do to get yours is based.
Quit being a crybaby. It's like toughen up and do what you need to do, or you're going to be like a little mamby-pamby.
Mm-hmm. This is Dr. and Mrs. Based, but we're going to call him Dr. Her maiden name was Based, and she married Dr. Bem, and now she's Mrs. Bem.
Being a little twerp is cringe.
You can't be cringe. That's the worst thing you can be in the future. It's the worst thing you can be right now.
Dr. Bemmer Based.
Dr. Bemmer Based. It turns out he's a big eugenics fan.
I mean... So... Oh, wait. You know what? You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, this is me explaining the story.
I forgot what happened in this story.
Remember the weird xenophobic vibes?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I didn't take it to mean that.
I think I just, while I was reading this, because usually when I read these things, I'm just like coming up with like hit points for jokes and then like discarding what I didn't think was necessary. And I just honed in on Stacy going like, hard work and exercise is based as shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's my joke.
No, it turns out that Dr. Bem here, he has created a serum to basically, I guess, de-evolve people just far enough to, I guess, the perfect point where they are the perfect balance of brains, emotion, and muscle before we kind of tipped too far into the brains category.
Mm-hmm.
They've experimented on his dog, Blackie, and turned him from a simpering little whelp dog to an insane, psychopathic pit bull-looking dog.
You know, that's kind of what we're doing now with, like, HRT.
Yeah.
You hit 40 or whatever, and you start taking testosterone, so you're, like, manly again.
Not me.
I know, not you. Whoa, yeah, we know.
My 777 testosterone, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You should get tested
that
after the marathon, see if it drops.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a good idea, and if I had, like, a home testosterone testing kit, I
James,
would, but, like, yeah.
Why aren't you donating your extra testosterone?
To me.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
What will people give me? Will somebody make us a billboard image?
You can't be charitable.
I think testosterone is the new currency. It's the new
Bitcoin. How do I get that? Do I have to like suck you off and swallow it? Is that how I get it from you?
No, I think you get my semen and then you put it in what is it called? A centrifuge.
Uh-huh.
And it separates out the testosterone from the other whatever else is in there.
Well, that's less fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, how you get the semen is up to you. Speaking of getting a special serum, Dr. Bem has his assistant, Luga, and Luga's this guy's just pathetic.
He's got a little bald spot, weak.
Yeah, he's got a bald spot like all the men on the planet Thyroid have.
Fucking dork.
giant skull. And so they're talking to him and they're saying like, well, how's the serum going? He's like, well, yeah, you know, I'm trying to distill it, trying to dial it back a little bit because it made your dog go nuts. But I think we just about get it. And, you know, I tell you what, that dog looks like it's having such a great time. I'm just going to go ahead and inject myself. I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
Hey, well, so I have a question. Like, so I don't understand, like, how are Bemmer and Stacy, how come they're like alpha chads and everybody else are like dorks? If they're born from them, shouldn't they also be dorks?
I imagine there's a couple other chads.
Or maybe they took the serum, like, and they got the right dose and they've been walking around looking great.
Well, apparently they did from hard work and exercise.
And their fathers before them.
Yeah, that's right. Hard work and exercise based.
And so Luga injects himself and he freaks out. And all of a sudden he talks about like, well, if I get big and strong, I'll be able to have anything I want, including you, Stacy. Like, he explicitly...
Wouldn't he want another woman that looks like him, though, with the big head?
Well, I mean, I guess he's anticipating that he's going to look like Dr. Bem, and therefore he's going to want Stacy.
Yeah, he gets a little testosterone in him, and the first thing he wants to do is take another dude's woman.
He's punching above his class for sure.
Yeah, that guy will be Caesar.
He injects himself, and he breaks out of his little onesie that he's wearing. Everybody in the future is wearing hot, tight, little clothes. And so he breaks out of his onesie. He gets big and strong. His head is still huge, though.
James, if you were buff enough to, like, your clothes would tear when you would flex, would you be very careful but then do it when it was the appropriate time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd buy cheaper clothes for that
right,
time.
Same.
Yeah. I'm not going to be ripping good clothes all the time.
I'd fucking do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Hulk
we got to
be,
we got to be, yeah, we got to Hulk out though.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean lie about car accidents.
Love that guy. I'm going to keep an eye on Hulk Hogan and see what new lies he's coming up with. Cause I'm sure it's a 20-foot wall of flame that he fought through at this point.
We could talk about his previous lies as well.
Some great previous, I believe he said that Elvis was a big fan of his in the early days of his, like when he was just starting out. And then it turned out that Elvis had died like a year before he ever wrestled. So it was impossible.
No, Elvis asked him to be the bassist for his band.
Oh yeah. For when Elvis
and to take over when Elvis died.
You gotta marry, oh God, what was it? Lisa Marie? No, what's his wife?
I don't know.
Priscilla. You gotta take care of Priscilla, Hulkster. And I said, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it for you, Elvis. I'll do it for you, King.
I like how it sounds like Elvis, too.
Yeah, they do kind of sound alike. Well, also, he would have been like 20 at this age, at this time.
I would say he sounds like cartoonishly like a wrestler, but like that stereotype wrestler voice comes from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan sounds like a caricature of Hulk Hogan at this point.
That doesn't work for me, brother. That's my favorite thing Hogan to say.
It feels like most people with a distinct voice from the 80s and 90s just sound like a caricature of themselves now.
They had more testosterone back then.
It was a very cartoony decade.
People were bigger and stronger and hairier.
Yeah, people were taking whatever serum they could get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing each other's ladies.
Yeah, and this...
Breaking flasks.
And then Dorkman...
Luga.
He like he grabs the local bong and runs off. The local bong.
The community bong, yes.
Yeah.
He grabbed the nearest bong and headed out. Yeah, I mean, I can't really blame the dude. What else? He's got nothing else going on. Got nothing in his life.
Yeah, the first thing you do is when you're big and strong is you push down the guy you were jealous of.
And he does. He pushes him down, but he doesn't grab Stacy. He just leaves. He leaves with a bong full of serum.
He's going, why? Because he imagined being too nervous when and she'd be like, what's wrong? And he's just too nervous to maintain his erection.
He's not going to be able to perform. Well, a guy like that will just blame the woman.
A friend of mine, growing up, he came up to me and said, I lost my virginity. I go, which happened? Were you not able to come or did you come too fast?
It's always that.
One or the other, isn't it?
What was it? Did we get an answer?
I guess it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, he said, I couldn't at all. I was too nervous. I go, yeah, that's normal. He goes, thank God.
Well, in a way, you still haven't had sex then.
Well, I mean, it was there.
You haven't closed the door. Yeah.
Right.
You haven't put that book on the shelf just yet.
Sometimes you got to keep trying. Got to relax.
So then Luga starts rampaging through town, and some guards come up to Dr. Bem and say, like, well, we did what we could to stop him, but we tried our nerve guns, and they didn't work against him. And Dr. Bem goes, well, yeah, because his nervous system is primitive, so our modern weapons won't work against them. And I don't know that I buy that.
Oh, like a nervous system gun. I thought I meant, like, we fired our guns to get on his nerves, but he has too thick a skin.
He built up his skin. Well, he's not a crybaby millennial.
No, he's not.
He's drinking out of the water hose.
Not a little puss boy, huh?
He can handle. He can take a joke.
He like walked out. He like de-pantsed us all.
No. They're talking about literally damaging his nervous system. And I don't. He's not like an octopus or something. Like he's still got a human nervous system.
So they got like Parkinson's guns.
They got like stun guns. Jeez. We just call them stun guns here in the modern times.
Oh, did they not have stun guns back then? I guess they didn't.
Yeah, I guess the 50s, you couldn't have like a personal stun gun. Maybe they existed.
Like a stun gun probably was something.
Like a baton maybe, but I don't think like
I don't think they had that then either.
Oh. They hadn't invented the baton yet? Baton technology
didn't
come
about
until
the 50s? Let's look up when they invented the stun gun, the elected. God, I'm just off today.
1974, yeah, they were
ways
off.
Yeah, it wasn't even invented yet.
They couldn't even dream of it.
It was science fiction to them.
It's probably a good thing because if I was a sci-fi writer in 1952 and I knew stun guns existed, that's all I'd write about.
Yeah.
All the books would just be about stun guns. So
right.
Yeah. So anyway, it turns out that while Luga was out there causing chaos in Thyroid, he took that bong full of serum and he injected a bunch of other strangers, I guess. And so now there's a bunch of them running around the city. He dosed them. We don't see that happen. We're just told it happened.
And now he's best friends with that feral dog.
Yes. So he went back to the lab to get more serum. But in the course of that, I guess he also freed Blackie and he took Blackie with him.
I love this scene over just like Bemmer's like yelling at the little twerp guy. And he's like, eee.
No, he's not. He's not he's in
like,
there.
He's like, no. In the
Oh, in the guard. He's telling the guard.
He's like that little guard there. And he's just like, what do you mean you can't figure it out? He's like, eee.
Yeah. So this is the thing that bothers me is their whole civilization is built around the fact that they're smart. They can't figure out how to deal with this.
I don't know what to do. It's like Demolition Man.
Did that happen? Is that how Demolition Man kind of shook
out?
Yeah,
this is basically Demolition Man.
Dude, get a net. Get a net and then a crane and crush him with a boulder. Like,
they don't know how to think of that.
This is...
our stun guns didn't work.
They're too smart for their own good.
We tried nothing. We're all out of ideas.
Classic. And so all the nerds decide they're just going to leave Thyroid.
I guess they could just have it.
They just give up and leave their town.
Nerds. They got swirlied out of their own town.
This is pretty notable because of a revelation that Dr. Vemmer will give us in the last page, but we'll get to that. So Dr. Vemmer says, all right, he goes back to the lab. He realizes that Blackie's been stolen, Blackie the dog and all the serum. And then Luga strikes again. And actually this time Dr. Vemmer runs into Luga. Luga knocks over Dr. Bem and finally takes the woman. He's finally ready.
Because that finally has to ready. Be in the story.
So he's left Blackie behind. And so now Dr. Vemmer has to deal with Blackie. And he does it by just snapping his neck and killing him.
Damn right.
Yeah, trigger warning.
Oh, because he's snapping the dog's neck? Dogs tear each other to pieces in arenas.
Dogs don't care. They have no problem with it. They don't mind.
They're animals.
Dogs understand that if you snap their neck, you probably had it coming.
Damn right. You're the alpha.
Yep, yep. They respect the alpha.
Yeah, that's right.
Dogs just want to know who's in charge. That's all.
Yeah, I was. I'm the neck snapper of dogs.
So I will also add this to the list of bizarre things. The fact that he kills Blackie, his beloved dog, which is also...
He stands over him with his giant package.
Oh, no, he justifies it.
He justifies it, but I'm going to say there's a couple of things that are pretty strange based on a revelation that Dr. Bem makes at the end of the story here. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Bem decides, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this broom. Since you nerds can't figure any of this shit out, I'm going to take this broom and I'm going to douse it in rocket fuel. And I'm going to light on fire because if they're primitive men, they're probably scared of fire.
Right.
Right? I'm scared of fire. I mean, shit. I'm no Hulk Hogan. I'm not going to run through that stuff.
Nope. He tore apart that burning car and saved that woman.
He ripped the door off. All right. So this apparently works. It draws the monsters back for a while. And then Dr. Bemmer confronts Luga in order to get his woman back.
And he's just like, you may be big and strong, but I'll use the power of brains, motion and muscle to defeat you.
Mm-hmm.
And Luga has a 4-pack because back in the day in the 50s, you just needed a 4-pack to be a built guy.
It's still, I'm still trying to get that 6th pack. Like the 4-pack is all out and about ready to go. But that extra pack is just struggling to be seen.
Well, as we said before, when we were growing up, a 6-pack was the ideal, but now you got to have 8-pack.
Now you have to have 8.
And if you're going for an 8-pack, you might as well just skip it because by the time you get the 8-pack, it's going to be on a 10-pack. You should be aiming for a 10-pack now.
Yeah. Start now. It's like college. Start saving now.
If you don't already have an 8-pack, just skip it altogether and go straight for the 10-pack.
Just become a guy on the internet. Don't leave your house. If you can't achieve your pack.
Yeah. If you can't have the right pack count, like we don't need to be seeing you.
You'll get pulled. You would pull over of your car and the police will be like, let me see your pack, sir.
Yeah. Let me see how many packs you're carrying here.
Like, you know, you're not supposed to be out of the house.
Yeah. 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 That's how it's going to be in the future.
You 4-pack losers.
And then you're going to have to slip them some Bitcoin and bribe them to get out of that.
Yep. Or we're going to call it PatCoin.
That's what's going to supplant Bitcoin is PatCoin.
Uh-huh.
It's what coin?
PatCoin.
P-A-T?
Like a 6-pack.
Like a 6-pack or an 8-pack or a 10-pack. I don't know how many packs they're going to have in the future, but
I don't know. So many. Maybe people get taller. The taller they get, the more pack they'll have.
The number of packs does move with the price of Bitcoin.
Now, when are we going to move from packs to pecs?
Right. Well, you only have 2 of those, unless you get the striation.
Well, I was going to say maybe pretty soon it's going to be you need 8 packs and 2 and 4
like a mother goat.
8 packs and 4 pecs. Yes. No, because you got to build up the under ones, so there's no nipple.
Look at goat, bro. Well,
we saw that
it's just muscle.
We saw that Godzilla has a tri-pec. He's got a little. He's got one going in the middle.
You
got
to pop that middle pec.
But there was no nipples.
If you don't have that middle pec going, what are you even doing with your life?
Right, I'm gonna evolve to the point where of masculinity that my nipples are gonna disappear because there's not even a chance I'm gonna be able to breastfeed.
Oh, ghost nipples. So anyway, Dr. Bem kicks Luga's ass just by outfighting him. There's really nothing to it.
Judo tosses him, and he says he breaks his neck.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's two necks he's broken.
Yeah.
He tells Stacy, that got him, his neck is broken, and she's pretty pleased about this. She is turned on.
She's like, you're wonderful, he's dead.
Yeah. Literally. He's quoting.
You were wonderful, he's dead. I love it. So then we get to an interesting panel here where they're cleaning up the wreckage. And one of the guards says to him, well, I guess we'll just destroy the whole city. The brutes are like, they're stuck in there and they're going to go on a rampage. So I guess we'll just burn the whole thing down. And Dr. Bem says, oh no, it's fine. The serum actually wears off after a while. They'll go back to normal.
Yeah. So, he killed the dog and he killed his lab assistant.
Yep.
Nobody touches my woman. Accurate.
Okay, I understand that one, but he didn't have to. I think he just killed the dog because he didn't want to take care of it.
Yeah, fuck that dog. Bite at me. He stood over that dog with his package out and his muscles flexing. He stood over that dead dog.
Yeah.
It's just because he lives in the city and it's a lot of responsibility.
He's like, who's the big dog now?
He barks at him. He barks at his corpse.
Yeah, barks at his corpse as the dog's bowels evacuate on the floor.
Well, the comic ends in one of the weirdest.
Pretty cool.
Like lines.
Yeah. Because
he says, so 6 months later, and the people have devolved into like where they were.
They've dialed in.
Stacy and Bem are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. It was the best thing for him.
Eugenics was the answer. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And Stacy says, look, your experiment did benefit people. And then Dr. Bem says, yeah, when the serum works when used right, but they'll never love each other as we do, serum or no serum.
Puts a little riz on
it. What the fuck does love have to do with any of this?
Because they can't, because they're a bunch of, they're Gen Zs and they can't possibly.
Well, no, because there's clearly a couple like holding hands and looking at each other affectionately there. So it is them being just bitchy.
It's just for their Instagram.
I think what's happening here is up until this point, his lady, Stacy, was the only attractive person in all of Thyroid. And now, with all the serum, there's a bunch of attractive women, and he needs to assure her that he's not going to cheat on her, even though he's totally going to cheat on her.
And plus, they got those firm asses.
They look so good.
They look like they're kind of, like, drooping, like they're, like sticking out past the panel.
Yeah, because of the coloring.
Like they're sitting on it.
Oh, they look so good.
They're firm squatted asses.
There goes, the last little bit of my heterosexuality. Out the window.
He goes, thank God for my serum, because now everyone's better than they were before.
The serum is his cum, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was always his cum.
I knew it.
So we're moving on to the second story, and it's a book called Flight to the Future, possibly written by Basil Wolverton, art definitely by Basil Wolverton.
Here we have a naked man waking up from a bullet. That was buried in the ground around skulls, and there's a bunch of Trump supporters coming up to him. No, I'm kidding. That was lazy.
So, this story is about a man. He wakes up in the future, and then we find out why. Because it turns out that after the Great Atom Bomb War, this was 1952, he took to robbery. Times were hard. So this guy took to robbery and inadvertently killed a guy with a piece of pipe, smashed him in the skull, and
he smacked him across the neck, thinking he broke his neck, a third broken neck.
That was the way to kill people in the 50s.
That's the way to kill people now.
Yeah, you'll win. You'll get it. Because you can't build those neck muscles up that much.
Nope. Like, there's not much you can do. Especially now today where everyone's all like big-brained and small-bodied.
Everybody needs to start wearing neck armor. Mm-hmm. Wear it. Get some neck armor. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like Batman.
Go to REI and get some neck armor and wear that around 24/7.
And chainmail.
Yep, and chainmail. You should just really look like a knight.
Yeah.
Let's bring that aesthetic back. You should look like a knight. You should be wearing like 60 pounds of armor all the time.
Have sword.
and have a sword with like a glowing orb in the hilt of it that you can switch out for different powers.
You know what? I'm really getting behind this.
This is a good life. I'm pretty sure it's just a video game I saw.
Why aren't we doing this?
I'm pretty sure this is just Asgard's Wrath, but...
So here he's like, oh my God, I killed this guy. It's the gas chamber for me.
I'm fucking dead. And he has an idea.
So he decides to... Before the police can figure out what he did, it seems like society is still going despite the nuclear war that he was just...
Yeah.
All right. But he goes to this organization that is freezing people in the ground so they would wake up 20,000 years in the future for some reason.
You know what he should have done if he didn't want to pay for his crimes? He should have ran for president.
Yeah, right?
He'll never
have to go yourself.
Yeah, pardon yourself. And so he goes to see this nerd. And the nerd tells him, hey, nobody loves you, and you've lived a completely meaningless life. You're perfect for this experiment. Let's do it.
Dude, I read this guy like was reading off the requirements for this. So I'm like, man, I meet these requirements.
You would be this guy. I was trying to find a way to say that when I was reading this, because I made that connection as well. But it's like, that sounds mean. Like, I don't
know. I did not make this connection.
I do have a police record, though.
It says... According to government files, you have no debts, no property, no family ties, and no police record. Therefore, we can accept you. Yeah, we just got to expunge that record, and we can then bury you for 20 years.
I think it's expunged. It's enough times gone by. It was
nice.
So I think they can still just call the FBI and be like, was this guy done? And they're like, he did all this.
Well, they really made this character relatable to you.
Yeah.
They knew who was going to read this.
Right. Me breaking people's necks with pipes.
And then it's
resorting to robbery. Because I didn't go to school.
This is it. I'm a perfect candidate. Let's get me frozen now. I need to be out of here.
I wonder if anyone would, if they offered me that, would I take it?
For me, it would depend on how, because they don't know how to get you out. Like, they'll store you. There are organizations that will cry. There's actually a great episode of How To with John Wilson about it. They will store you.
You need people to get you out of it, but you're not.
Right.
What if there's nobody 20,000 years in the future who remembers to do it?
Well, then, you know, your life was so meaningless anyway. It was all just going to end anyway. But the thing is, they don't know how to.
I just don't know, like, what was the point of this? Why 20,000 years?
I guess they figured everything would be solved by that point.
Yeah, but why send you there?
I think that they had different people that went to different times.
Okay.
So I think that there were probably people that were only sent 200 years in the future.
Somebody just went to next Tuesday?
I don't understand what the end goal is.
It's science.
Science.
Like, why do we take screws and shit into space?
Yeah, but it's not. It's how is it science?
If you can put someone to sleep for 20,000 years and then successfully wake them up, that's pretty good science.
Yeah, but who's going to wake them up? It's been 20,000 years.
Science is going to wake them up.
So if these doctors live long enough to feel like they've perfected it, they'll just freeze themselves for 20,000 years as well.
Yeah, but why?
Because it's going to be dope in 20,000 years.
It's not the chuds take over.
Cool. Well, that's actually what happens here. So they do freeze him. And then he wakes up. And he's immediately greeted by an elderly man. And he goes, shit, I thought we would have been done with
this. He's like, Joe Biden.
I had a couple different old people are presidents jokes. And I decided to go with the one I already used. So I'm glad you picked up the other one.
Yeah.
We love elderly leaders. Yeah.
Dude, he's so old. With his fucking weird hair.
Joe Biden's weird hair.
You know, like I'd just be like, that is such a fuck. His hair plugs, man. Like, they are fucking weird looking.
I don't know if he has hair.
He does because when he, in the 70s, when he was like young, he was bald.
Was he bald?
Yeah, he's always had weird hair.
Yeah, bald, and then he got like plugs.
Oh yeah, that's probably because I guarantee you that was a public image thing.
He's had like his face lifted, like he's done all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what a vain man.
I don't think it's necessarily vanity. I think it's that's
you're Americans a man getting a facelift.
I think that's like a superficial American populace who wants to see a handsome man as president.
You don't see Bernie Sanders doing that.
Well, no, it was too much of a large operation. We couldn't restore that man. We can't make Bernie Sanders look like a human being. He's too far gone.
That was the great hope. Bernie Sanders, remember that?
That he would be hot?
Yeah.
We could make Bernie Sanders hot?
Make Bernie Sanders hot again.
Please do. I don't know, man. I'm sure he's a fine guy. I'm sure he's a fine old man. This old man wakes up, and his name is Kingston, I believe. Yeah, Kingston. Kingston is the leader of this weird future world run by a bunch of freaks and weirdos.
Yes, don't worry. By a bunch of freaks. They're harmless. They do exactly what you say. Why? How'd they get there?
I mean, well, because I think there actually is a little bit of an explanation for this that we'll see at the end. So this guy, the other guys are just stupid, you know, monster people. But this guy is at least, he's got a human brain. He's got a functional human brain, which has made him, given him the ability to kind of take over this civilization. Right?
Mm-hmm. Even though, like, they can't do anything?
Serve him.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, because I guess he would rather be a king of dolts than just an average guy in a civilization amongst average people.
That's basically what Rockefeller said when he created the, what do you call it?
You're alone in this. I don't know where this is going.
The United
Department
States,
of Education?
Yeah, Department of Education. That was halfway founded by Rockefeller, and he's quoted as saying, I want a nation of obedient workers, not a nation of thinkers.
Yeah, well, that was that was the style of the time. That's how you got to be a Dr. Bem. Put your nose down to the grindstone. You did your reps. You did your science.
Yeah, make the entire population stupid so they can work in my factories.
Yeah, that works too.
An educated man won't want to work in no factory.
So this guy, I love the factory workers of America. They keep this world turning and spinning and all kinds of things. Love them.
Are there still factory workers? Are they all overseas now?
Not as many as
there
probably.
Yes, there are still factories.
Yeah, factories still exist, you know.
A lot of cars are still made in America.
A lot of cars are still made in America. I'm trying to lure more of them over here.
And steel.
And steel? You got to say it like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Conan.
Steel? Well, speaking of steel, this guy wants to steal control of this civilization from Kingston.
Yeah, why?
Because, again, King of Dolts.
Because he's clearly a really old man.
Wishful thinking. Actually, he uses the word dolts.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And provisions out of these dolts.
I mean, it's just these two guys, right? Mm-hmm. That still have brains. I would figure out where all the keys are.
And
I'd figure out how everything works and what, because he's just going to kill this guy, but then not know how to do anything.
Oh yeah, I guess that's fair.
Like, if he's going to die anyway, he's already much older than
this
you.
This man is not smart.
He's going to teach you how to run the world, and then he'll die.
He's been asleep for 20,000 years.
Yeah, or maybe he's groggy.
He wasn't smart before he went to sleep.
Let him shake this off a little bit.
Sure, he was robbing people.
Yeah, and so he tries to actually kill Kingston. Kingston was actually prepared for this. He's got a gun. He's got an atom gun. I don't really know what that does, but he's got it. And so he takes his two dudes. He's like, hey, man, hey, Zwok and Gorka, why don't you throw this guy in the fucking pit? Because it turns out that he's a piece of shit. He's trying to kill me.
Yeah, they leave him in there for days.
They leave him in there for a while, but then Kingston lets him out himself.
Yep. It's a reptile-infested hellhole.
Yes. Kingston lets him out, and he says, hey, why don't you walk those sexy little buns up these stairs here? Mm-hmm. And so he's walking up these steps, and he sees that there is an approaching planetoid in the sky. And Kingston informs him, yeah, any minute now, that could just destroy the Earth and kill us all anyway. So I really don't care. I don't care about any of this. This is all pointless, completely pointless.
Yep, that's how I feel about pretty much everything.
This story is actually pretty damn pointless when we get down to it, because this is the last page. It's almost over.
I mean, this is as nihilistic as you can possibly get.
This is pretty bleak.
Your life is meaningless. We're going to freeze you and send you to the future. You go to the future. Everyone here is adult, and I hate you.
It is at this point that the stories in this comic, I had to read pages two or three times before I moved on, and I still don't know what happened on some of them.
Well, this one, he pulls out his gun, and he goes, I'm the guy you tried to rob. Yes. All those 20,000 years ago. What? He goes, that's right. When I found out that you froze yourself, I decided for them to freeze me too, but to wake me up a little bit earlier than you.
I think that he wasn't trying to wake up earlier. He just did. He woke up like 35 years earlier.
So I conquered the world of the morons and waited for you. And now,
apparently processed his anger.
He's doing fine now. Yeah.
And he tries to save his life again.
And then, then the planetoid crashes into the world and everyone dies.
So, yeah, they start fighting. And he tells Kingston, it's time you died. This place needs a new ruler. But before they can be resolved, the planetoid hits the Earth, destroys everything. And Kingston's dying words are, too bad, it's too late for you to rule the last of the Earth people. And then they just die. What the hell is this?
This is like a story I'd write.
It's got no, I mean, I guess it has an ending.
Yeah.
And it has
then,
no middle.
And then the world ended. That's how I want all my stories to end.
Yeah.
Maybe the
yeah.
world didn't end. Maybe it just all fell on him and it didn't hit Kingston.
Yeah. Planetoid landed just on him.
It looks like it hit somewhere and then everything. Then the building just fell over.
Yeah. Like maybe the building fell on him, not the planetoid.
Maybe the planetoid just bumped into the Earth.
Yeah.
Just shook everything around a little bit.
What a bizarre story.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite one out of all the stories.
Because it was absolutely meaningless.
Yeah, meaningless.
There was nothing to be learned or gained from it whatsoever.
Petty hate, you know, revenge, stupid revenge fantasy.
Had this guy not done what he did, had he chosen a different path, had he not become a criminal, had he not tried to kill that guy, had he not frozen himself, everything would have ended the same anyway.
He had to become a robber because the world ended in a nuclear holocaust. So he became a robber, and he accidentally killed a guy, felt so guilty, decided to freeze himself to avoid going to prison.
No, he didn't feel guilty, he just didn't want to go to prison.
Well, I mean...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess. That's all guilt is, right? You're afraid of the consequences, not actually what you did.
No, I think guilt... Well, I guess it depends on your view of things existentially.
I think that's a fantasy. I think everyone's a piece of shit.
There are about 7 people in the world that will genuinely just feel bad because something is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know any of them. Freaks.
The Star Children.
Yeah. They're going to make a great band one of these days. So next we've got a story called Jumpin' Jupiter, which is entirely done by Basil Wolverton. Mm-hmm. And this is a silly one. This does look more like a Mad Magazine kind of thing. It's much more goofy.
I did not like this comic.
Well, it's about soup. You love soup.
Yeah, you love soup.
This is a book about soup. If you like soggy foods that weren't intended to get wet, have I got a food stuff for you. It's called soup.
That's right.
This is a ridiculous comic and not in a fun way.
Shay's like, no soup for you.
Shay can't appreciate that one. She's not a Seinfeld fan.
I know the soup Nazi.
Pretty
famous.
Like, you gotta know that one.
You better know that one. What's happening here is this taking place on Earth? I think it is taking place on Earth.
Well, right now, we see Jumpin' Jupiter living on an asteroid, mm-hmm. and he's just hanging out in his front yard, which is in space.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then there's these four guys.
Property owner.
That own a soup company on Earth, and they're upset because their formaldehyde soup is not a popular flavor.
Didn't work out.
And they're going broke.
It's the Sloop Goop Soup Company.
Yeah, all right.
Sloop Goop. Well done. There's some fun wordplay in there.
So, like, I have an idea, gentlemen. This guy who, like, necks, like, boing.
His neck boings out.
Yes.
He's like, I have an idea. Let's just go to another market. I'm like, yeah, it's all right.
In the 50s, you could afford to have a lot more neck.
Yeah, and you could be an idiot and run a big business.
You and your three
and make
buddies
stupid,
could
stupid, ridiculous decisions.
As long as you were a white man, yeah.
Yeah. Like, let's put all of our money in making formaldehyde soup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're like all excited about, got another market. Like, the idea of that has driven them insane.
Yeah, just spread it to another horrible planet. Yeah. And so they say, all right, we'll call Jumpin' Jupiter, who apparently helped out with these kind of projects.
Yep.
And we'll say, can you find us someplace where we can unload all this formaldehyde soup?
And Jumpin' Jupiter can leap from world to world.
Yeah, he just jumps. He just jumps off his little asteroid that he lives onto and starts going to other planets to check it out.
What if he accidentally misses the planet and then drifts endlessly in space?
I mean, it doesn't...
That's a huge existential fear of mine.
It's just true, yeah. We won't survive long.
It doesn't matter. Space isn't... This is just more space is real propaganda from the spin doctors at NASA. None of this is fucking real.
Oh, I love the spin doctors.
Yes. Spin doctors are the official band of NASA. And they spread a lot of propaganda. It's just a black tarp, people. There's no such thing as space. It's just a tarp.
The pinholes in the night. Who knows?
That's all it is.
That's my Sean Connery from Highlander.
Yes. And so Jumpin' Jupiter starts going to other planets. It's not working out because he goes to this one planet.
Where's the first planet he goes to? Is it Mars?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Mercury, I think, right?
Mercury.
Yeah, he goes to Mercury. Yeah.
He leaps to Mercury, and they're like little green anteater people. What is the reason why they can't have soup?
They have volcanoes that spew out different types of soup.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone just has soup for free.
And then Jumpin' Jupiter, he goes to Mars, mm-hmm. and they're so obsessed with soup there that they made it illegal to have soup.
Now, there's interesting cultural points made on both of these. Because number one, if the Sloop Goop Soup Company was smart, they would just buy up all the volcanoes on Mercury and control the soup supply that way.
So well, they don't know about them.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they don't know about
it. But they would if capitalism could get there.
Jumping Jupiter.
It's like Nestle with the water.
Proud capitalist Jumping Jupiter is going to report back. And then secondly, when they go to Mars and they find out that it's illegal, the government on Mars made it illegal for no reason other than the fact that they enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's just like our government with our guns.
This is some insane bureaucracy.
Well, they're Martians. It's not for us to judge them. Racist.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more Martians. Actually, these Martians don't look like the Martians we'll see in another story, actually.
No. Fake news.
Fake news. Yeah. Only one of these can be the real Martians. And so Jumping Jupiter goes to Earth's moon, which I've mentioned this before, really pisses me off that the Earth's moon, the best planet in the entire solar system, and our moon doesn't have its own name. It's just the moon.
Well, Luna.
Isn't that just Latin for moon?
Yeah, but no one's calling it that.
No, that ain't.
You
no
could,
fucking...
though. Well, here on Earth's moon, it's just like a bunch of naked guys, a bunch of naked doofuses.
Yep, it's the hottest place to go. I almost called it a planet because I'm an idiot. I mean, I guess it is a planet.
It's planetoid.
It's a planetoid. It's a moon. It's populated. It's got an orbit.
It's big enough to be crushed into a perfect sphere.
I don't know. I'm sure Neil deGrasse Tyson will smugly correct us on X later.
And it's just far away from the Earth and just far away from the sun to give an illusion of an eclipse, which is one of those astronomical impossibilities.
Yeah, that didn't happen. You were all conned by the companies that make the glasses into buying glasses.
I think so, too.
None of that's real. There's no such thing as an eclipse. They put it on every once in a while to distract you.
Yeah.
I saw on The Daily Show, they were showing a clip from Fox News of the day of the eclipse, and they said they were trying to make the case that because of the eclipse, it was going to allow extra time for gangs and cartels to make their way discreetly from Mexico into America.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the
I
little
love
like,
Fox News. I love so it. Fucking,
that was
I
so
love
desperate.
Fox News, dude.
It was pretty good.
So it's like cartoonishly hilarious.
Yeah, they got to come up with something.
Dude, hey, 24-hour news network. Am I right?
Fill those hours.
Thanks, Ted Turner.
Hey, yeah. do you want to work or not?
You want something to do? Or you just want to sit around on your ass?
You take that broadcast journalism degree. You got to do something with it.
Yeah. So on the moon, Jumper Jupiter is told, well, no, we just eat stewed golf balls and cheese. So we don't really have any use for soup. But hey, I got nothing to do. I'll go talk to these soup people with you anyway. And so he sits on Jumping Jupiter's back.
Yep. And this guy says, I think this guy just wanted a ride to Earth.
I'm pretty sure he would suffocate in the... Yeah, whatever.
I think this was written before they realized there was things beyond our own solar system.
They do treat our solar... Because they do mention Earth and Mars a lot, and they don't mention anything beyond...
Well, we didn't land on the moon until...
67?
69.
69? Okay.
Yeah. 69 is when they pretended to do it.
Man, they did such a good job of pretending to land on the moon.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name, that director?
Kubrick.
Kubrick. Yeah, Kubrick did a great job. I fell for it.
Yeah, I believed it for a few years there. And so they head back to Earth and they check out the Sloop Goop Soup Company. And the owner says, oh, yeah, I'll cook up some samples for you. He goes, no, just give me it cold. That's all I want. I'm not looking to eat it at all. I'm just using it to slick down our weird frizzy hair.
And it works. Do you guys, I'd rather just eat the food cold than take the time to heat it up. I'm that guy.
The soup is a little gross.
Yeah, soup is gross, I guess. But I do that a lot with food, though.
Occasionally, well, pizza is good in any state.
Yeah.
You can eat it cold, you can eat it hot, whatever you want to do.
I mean, I feel that way about chicken,
it,
though, too. Like, I can eat cold chicken.
Cold chicken's a little, it depends.
I can do it.
Cold mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
you know?
I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it, but I don't know. Like, I mean, microwave is pretty easy, bro. It's a minute and a half. Like, it's not much.
Just eat it, get it done.
Yeah. And so this all works out. Jumping Jupiter, unfortunately, though, is paid in boxes of soup.
Yeah, why?
And this ain't going to help him. Well, he didn't negotiate his contract ahead of time. He just accepted the job.
I mean, I guess it's all he needs is food because he obviously owns his own asteroid. Big success.
Well, he said it is a big success. He said he wanted to buy a bigger asteroid or something.
There
can't buy that with soup.
No. We could sell it to these jabronis.
You could sell it to the, moon. To the moon, man. Yeah,
the Kramers.
They do have the Kramer, don't they? It's coming back. Michael Richards coming back to TV. I think I saw
Is it the N-word show?
Yes. Look, it was one time.
That'd be funny. If they had balls, though, that's what they would do. They would call it the N-word show, and they would hire Michael Richards to host it.
No, right. That would not give them balls.
That would be ballsy. That'd be a ballsy move.
It wouldn't be ballsy, but it'd be based.
Yeah, well, it'd just be based. That would be... That would. Would you call that last episode where you do some fucked up act of terror, but you do it in a way that's culturally like recognizable? The Max Headroom thing. What did you call that?
Oh, culture jamming.
Culture jamming. Yeah, that'd be like culture jamming.
Yeah, yeah, that would be culture jamming. But typically, like NBC is not going to participate in something like that.
Yeah, but it'd be extra culture jamming if NBC was.
If NBC decided to get super based in that way, that would be quite a left turn.
I mean, Michael Richards, he should just do that and then blow his brains out. That would be
Jesus Christ!
That would be his end.
I mean, I guess that's one way to wrap things up, I guess. Speaking of wrapping up some of our favorite characters, O.J. Simpson just died, by the way.
Oh, yeah, O.J.
Juice is finally loose.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have some angry people in heaven.
Yeah, waiting on him.
Like, oh, shit.
I hope he finds the killer there.
My first question was, did he kill this person, too?
Did he kill O.J. Simpson?
Yeah.
I truly think that O.J., I hope they preserved his brain, because whatever's going on in that brain is going to tell us a lot about head injuries.
Yeah, no, if he had donated so that they could look at what fucking CTE was going on in there, yeah.
I legitimately hope they did, because I can't, the more I've seen of, like, interviews and read things, I legitimately don't think he could tell the difference between fantasy and reality for decades. Like, I don't think he knew what was going on.
Doesn't excuse it.
No, well, I mean, it's like
relate.
It's like putting a dog in prison. Like, he doesn't know what he fucking did.
Probably. Well, I mean, I don't know. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is,
but that's
again,
what a weird decision. You're trying to get away with murder.
You got to see the interview that they put. I mentioned this before on the show, but there's an interview that he did when that book came out that was so crazy that they did not publish it. And now it's out and floating about where he goes into a bizarre. He walks himself through the entire thing. And he mentions him. I can't remember the name, but he mentions like an imaginary friend he has in this hypothetical scenario who is like encouraging him to murder these people. And then in the course of him gradually putting this hypothetical together, his verb choices and his word choices start changing. And he starts saying, when I did it or then I did this, instead of saying anything hypothetical. It gets really fucking creepy.
I should watch that.
It's really uncomfortable. I don't think he could differentiate what was going on anymore.
Did you guys read this tech story? Flying saucers.
Oh, no, I didn't read that shit.
I skimmed it.
I didn't.
No, I always read it.
The sum is just aliens? Question mark.
It's called Flying Saucers, Meteors, or What? And it's a typical like Jesse asking questions. Jesse Ventura.
Why aren't we allowed to ask questions?
It's that same thing that you hear from like Rogan and Trump, where they say like, I don't know, it's just interesting to think about. And they kind of they poo-poo the explanation for flying saucers being things like weather balloons and bugs.
I say that too, though. It's just fun to think about. I say that too.
Yeah, but you're not a presidential candidate or a...
Not yet.
Yeah. You can be now. What are you sitting on a pot for? You're over 35.
Yeah,
get your
I
hat
can.
In the ring.
You think I should run for president?
Yeah, get your hat in the ring. Let's go.
Fuck yeah, third party.
You're kind of tired.
Well, you're not as tired as Trump and Biden are. Those guys are very,
Phantom
very sleepy.
Lady party.
Yeah.
Oh, I should do it dressed as a woman.
Oh, you're that right. would be, dude. And then they can't criticize you.
No, they can't.
That's
no.
not what I said.
Shane's already dissing. You're in the party. You're in the cabinet, bro.
Yeah, you might be the vice president.
Yeah. I don't know who's. Oh yeah, who should be my vice president?
Yeah,
you guys.
I don't want that responsibility.
If you don't want responsibility, then by God, you should be the vice president.
Vice president, no guy do nothing.
Nah, dude, photo op.
That's not what happened. January 6th.
What?
She was... yeah. Well, Shay, just don't betray me.
Yeah. Oh.
And then everything will be fine.
just keep an eye out for the guillotine. If you see a guillotine, run the other way. That's the only rule about being a vice president now. Mm-hmm. This is just some bullshit story. I'm just asking questions, hypothetical, putting it out there. They're just bugs on the screens, people. They're not aliens. They're bugs and psyops and...
Yeah, psyops.
And weather balloons and shit. That's all that is.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the government dug up an ancient UFO that, like, Sumerians or whatever had, and then they made their own. And that's all the flying saucers that we see, all the UFOs. I think it's all just man-made shit.
Sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You ever look up zero-point energy and anti-gravity stuff? It's, like, surprisingly simple.
Yeah, we're there. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with any just new. I just want new conspiracies.
I don't think it's aliens, though. That sounds weird.
Aliens just doesn't make sense. Nah, sorry, guys. Really. It doesn't make sense.
It does. The vastness of existence.
It's illogical.
I believe in aliens.
Yeah, I don't think they're here. I don't think they ever came here. How are they going to get here? They ain't coming.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they've made contact with us.
We're never going to find intelligent life in the universe, ever.
They're just microbes.
It's just so fucking vast.
Well, it's more about will they find us? / will they just come to us?
You know, space is expanding and all that. The distance between stuff is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, it's
like,
shit.
Yeah, the odds of us like ever finding anything is like... Give up.
Yeah, the distance between us and the end of the show is getting further and further, so we're going to move it along.
Yeah, let's just skip this story.
Yeah, we're like halfway through this fucking comic.
No, we've only got two stories left, Shay. This is called...
Out of how many?
Out of 50.
Six. We're in the last third. Jesus.
The time has come, Shay.
The time has come.
It's called story called The Time Is Come. The time has come. I have... Listen. Sexy story.
You gotta get Time's testosterone.
Yeah. The time is come.
The time has come. I have no writing credit, and the only art credit I have is dubious. It's a John Bulthuius. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a Beauregard.
Yeah, or just a fake name. Mm-hmm. And in this story, now this is actually a serialized story, so we have no idea what the hell was going on.
This seems like a Flash Gordon ripoff.
I'm sure it is.
About Alan Moore.
Space explorer named Alan Moore. So that's
spelled
fun.
The same.
Speaking of Bemmers,
he is pretty bemmed out.
Yeah, I love Alan Moore.
Well, I don't know if he has the body necessarily, but he's got the emotion and the mind for sure.
That guy has he has integrity.
I expected him to die a long time ago.
I'm just saying, like, that guy stuck to his principles and didn't take a dime when he didn't agree with something.
Oh, yeah, he passed up many millions of dollars over the years.
Dude,
you gotta give him credit for that.
Legend.
Yeah, yeah. He's the Neil Young of the comic book world. Mm-hmm. He's a crotchety old man, but I maintain that if you ever just run into him and you talk to him about anything other than comics or politics, he's probably a very pleasant, nice guy to talk to.
So Alan Moore and his Stacy, another sexy Stacy, who never once dresses appropriately for the space mission.
I have my thoughts on this. So there's this Alan Moore character, and he is heading off of this planet and he's got his Stacy, supposedly, but he's also got this other professor, and he's trying to bring this guy home to his planet of Tanong 2, I think. But it seems to me that the professor and the Flash Gordon character, Alan Moore, are clearly in love with each other, and they're perpetually annoyed that they have a woman with them.
Yeah.
Well, the woman is also an alien.
Is she an alien?
Yes.
Well, she's an alien woman.
It says to return his visitors. Plural. Oh, okay.
Well, they barely refer to her. They keep making weird comments to each other. They ignore her constantly. They
Maybe
do not
she
respond.
Stinks. Because she's an alien?
No,
right?
She's eye candy. She's cheesecake.
Nobody even wants to talk to her.
They're all excited that she's on the trip, but then like they get her in an enclosed space, and the smell is just like unreasonable.
Oh, like, I thought that was just I thought that was the atmosphere, but it was you.
Like, oh, it's you. This is how my people smell. Get fucked.
And they boot her out of the spaceship.
They boo her.
Boo. I'm telling you, if you watch this carefully, they don't react to anything she says. Like, if you were watching this filmed, it would be bizarre how they pretend like she's just a ghost.
It's probably the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah. So they start heading off. They get in their spaceship and they start heading off. And they run into a swarm of meteorites and they have to navigate their way through.
You know how like they're like, don't worry, our deflector shield will save us. Like, yeah, but it's getting super hot in here. Goes, oh, it must be the deflector shield.
Yeah. So,
there is a great panel. First of all, there's a great panel of Alan Moore reaching between the professor's legs and grabbing a giant shaft.
He's got
That's
a fucking shake weight.
Oh, I missed that.
That's pretty good.
Look at the shake weight.
He's got a shake weight. And then there's another panel with Alan Moore and the professor eyeballing each other, sweating, sweat rolling down their faces. And he says, it's getting kind of hot in here, professor. And the other guy says, friction from the meteorites must be doing it.
And Alan Moore, his face becomes conquered by his own chin.
Yes, his chin is growing as he's repressing himself.
It's getting kind of hot in here, professor.
Look at how the woman is always in the background. And then they all pass out. I guess they get heat exhaustion or whatever. She passes out right in front of them. They completely ignore her and continue trying to rescue each other.
Mm-hmm. Just lay there, Missy. Oh, just it's getting later. Hot. The smell must be getting so much worse.
Well, now there's fuck stink getting around in there, too.
Like, oh, God. Oh, yeah, from him and the scientist. Him and the
yeah. Which is fine. Like, I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying it was an odd thing to see in a comic book from 1952.
Mm. Opposites attract.
And so they finally wake up, and the woman is not helped at all. She's just taking care of herself in the corner. Alan Moore has the weirdest spine I've ever seen.
Yeah, it seems to go pretty good. His butt looks look at his weird little butt.
He has no ass.
Well, I'm saying his back just connects directly to his legs.
It looks like his like right leg is on top of his left leg.
Yeah, it does.
The art's a little
questionable. Or that's his boner, maybe.
He seems like, he makes me think that he's like from a race of like insectoids, and he's wearing like a human disguise.
It looks like he has a dog's red rocket, but it's gigantic.
I see that now. Yeah, he does. Damn it.
It's girthy.
Gross.
Too.
It looks like a fucking thumb.
It looks like a gumdrop that he just, like, it's gigantic.
The emergency gumdrop that he keeps in his pants.
That's his dick. I mean, he could be an alien.
That's
too.
What he keeps telling everyone.
Yeah, we don't know that he's not an alien.
This is just what my penis is like.
It's very normal on my planet. So they, I guess they have to land somewhere. They have to make an emergency landing.
And they land on some weird rock.
He and the professor stand next to each other in front of a couple of glory holes.
Yep, and nice they're looking at each other, and they're just like, you know, which one of you?
He does look like he's presenting.
I mean, look at his pelvic thrust.
Yeah, he's got his hands on the thing there.
Yeah.
He's got his cowboy boots on with nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's wearing a long sleeve shirt, but like short shorts.
He's got like a skirt.
Do you think he's proud of his legs, but not his arms?
I think it's just, I mean, they do look pretty good. Look at those calf definition shadows.
Yeah, he definitely wants to show that off.
Pretty good considering he lives in a mostly weightless environment.
Yeah, it's got to be very hard to get a good workout in.
Yeah, well, you can't.
Well, we do see that they land on this other planet and the gravity changes, which would definitely impact the quality of the workout there. Mm-hmm. So they land on a black planet and immediately get out and go, oh, shit, and fall on the ground because the gravity is like 10 times heavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they have anti-gravity discs.
They have an anti-gravity disc. Also notice, they're walking together. The woman is just trailing behind.
Yep.
They didn't give her a gravity thing. So she's struggling.
They in no way accounted for her. So they go into a cave and they see these troll people. And the troll people seem to think they need to attack because they're worried they're going to be attacked. It seems to be just a misunderstanding here.
They all want to vote for Trump.
I'll let it stand. I'll allow it.
All these little 4chan guys.
Oh, man, they made it happen. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I agree with it, but man, those 4chan people, they got a goon elected president.
Dude, they memed the president into the White House.
It's insane. Those people are never going to grow up.
Okay, so these tiny little men are talking. They have word bubbles. Mm-hmm. And then what's his face? I already don't care.
Alan Moore.
Yeah, thank you. Says, these dwarves communicate by thought transference. No wonder I understand them. Does he mean thought transference as in they're sending their thoughts into his brain?
I guess so.
They look like Ferengis from
But then shouldn't it be thought bubbles and not word bubbles?
Yep. Yeah, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just surprised that their biologies align enough to allow that.
The guy who drew these stories, they all really hate funny little guys, little.
Yeah.
Like, they're all the aliens that they all are disgusted by are just, like, twerps.
Yeah. They're just gross humans. They're just, basement dwellers, yeah.
I'm not an alien.
Once again, the tall man wins.
That's right. Well,
yeah, it's nice.
What genetics do you want?
It's pretty good up here. It's pretty nice, I gotta say. So, they bring Alan Moore and his cadre to the leader Ixta, the ruler of the planet. And he says, well, you know, we don't have water, we don't have oxygen, so we're going to travel through space and conquer other planets and take their resources, but we don't know how to travel through space, so we're going to need you to show us how to do that.
And he's like, all right.
Yeah, sure, fine, whatever, I don't really care. I'll never see you guys again, the universe is vast.
Well, no, the first thing he says is no, and the guy says, all right, we're going to make you a fucking dolt. And he goes, guess I have no choice.
Yeah, I don't have no choice. Well, they got a truth serum. They have serums and rays for everything.
But also in this picture, in the bottom left picture, it looks like he has a man bun.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got a little man bun on him.
Oh, look at a little man bun. Oh, look at that.
This little cloche helmet, yeah.
Look at that little Samurai Jack.
So they take the dude to the spaceship and they start working on it. But he makes a loud vibration. He slams the metal. And they say, we don't like those vibrations. That bothers us.
That's me. It's me and my neighbors. Any little sound.
Misophonia. You might be misophonic.
Hearing your kids play. What does that mean, though? What do you mean by that?
Misophonia. It's a disorder where you are bothered by sounds.
What is it when you're just bothered by other people?
Just being misanthropic.
Oh, that's
just being
me.
Being a hater. You're a hater.
I'm a hater. That's me.
You hate all these participators.
Yeah, right. Why can't you just be at home and be alone like me?
Yeah.
James has misophonia. Mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma. I don't know if I have mesophonia, but I very well might. I get very irritated when I'm going to an environment that I know is going to be loud, like a concert, I'm all for it. Turn it up and be as loud as you want. But unexpected loudness, when people are being loud when they shouldn't be loud, and it seeps into my life, motherfuck you so much.
Oh, I agree. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it's awful. It's
how
worst.
Dare you? I feel
yeah, but I also can't eat sandwiches around James because of the noise my jaw makes.
Well, because I it feels like your jaw is breaking. It's I psychologically feel like your jaw is snapping in half, and I call me crazy, but I'd rather your jaw not snap in half, and I respect your jaw enough that I would like it to stay in one piece. Call me crazy.
I'll listen to you eat food, Shay.
I already ate it in the mic.
Oh, yeah, and I got really excited about it. I was all about it.
You might have been able to hear the pop. My jaw is misaligned in it, so it pops when I open my mouth too wide.
Mm-hmm. And I just care. Pardon me, someone I care about.
Too much.
Yeah.
Pardon me that I care when somebody I care about sounds like their jaw is snapping in half.
Oh, what an insane delusion you have there.
Riding that anxiety bus, man.
Man, get off on the next stop. Call it. Yeah,
that's called death, bro. That's called the grave.
The end of the bus is the grave.
I got this. I picked up that shirt at a flea market. It's pretty good. It's got a wolf on it.
Yeah. Right. Something the Undertaker would say.
Yeah.
And then he'd support the blue.
That's his thing, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
I don't know that, but I bet it is.
He lives in Texas and he loves the police.
Oh my goodness.
I think he has a podcast about being a man or being conservative now or something.
I would love to get him and Mike Barron and the Ultimate Warrior, RIP, get all those guys together and have them do
Bootstrap Gang.
yes. Just have them do a show.
Hey, you know what? They're not wrong. Not giving up and taking responsibility for your own actions. When it comes to that point, that stoic philosophy, I agree with that. No one's going to help you but you.
But that's not what they're misunderstanding where other people are coming from.
Right. I'm just saying, though, the principle behind it of just personal responsibility. I agree.
Also, Ultimate Warrior has one of my favorite clips because he would go around, he would pour himself into an ill-fitting suit, and he would go around and give lectures about the dangers of homosexuality and things like that, and people would go and heckle him and get him to say even dumber things. And at one point, he gets mad at a heckler, and he tells them, there's a video that's on YouTube, he says, "Queering doesn't make the world go round." And the audience laughs at him.
That's an awesome thing. All right. I want an Ultimate Warrior t-shirt where it says that.
Oh, yo, you can wear that. You go ahead and wear that around. I'm distancing myself.
Have you heard the newest conspiracy theory is that, if you don't know, the Ultimate Warrior, after being gone from the WWE for decades, was inducted into their Hall of Fame. He, during the ceremony, gave an epic speech, showed up for Monday Night Raw the next night, and gave another speech as the Ultimate Warrior. It was great. But then he left and died of a heart attack right afterwards.
Well, his life was complete.
And the current conspiracy theory now is that Vince McMahon killed him so that he could use his death as a advertising
device,
to benefit the WWE.
I mean, I'm not saying I believe that, but man, there's not really much you can put past Vince McMahon, can you?
No, not this.
Yeah, I was about
age.
To say I don't believe that, but I believe that he would do it without thinking.
What is it? I can't remember the name of the wrestler, but he killed his girlfriend. He beat her to death, and Vince McMahon paid the whole town off.
Jesus.
To get him off.
God damn. I'm going to imagine that Vince McMahon was planning to murder the Ultimate Warrior. He had a big jar of poison waiting at his house.
I mean, he hated him. Like, they hated each other.
And then he just died 5 minutes before he could do his plot.
Right after he died, they had new thing called the Warrior Award to, like, give to people. But everyone who got that award, turns out, like, everything they were given the award for wasn't real. It was, like, a lie.
They all mysteriously died.
It was just a bunch of bullshit. All right. And his, like, Ultimate Warrior's wife was given, like, this spot in the company where she was doing stuff for him. And it's like... Like she was in on it too. Like, kill her fucking bullshit husband. Like, always yelling at her and stuff. Okay.
All right, this is getting dark. This is getting to be the most nihilistic story. All right, we're gonna finish this. So he agrees to help this guy and teach him how space travel works, but really he's just fucking with him and buying time to repair his ship. He repairs the ship, backhands the dude, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And then he knees a guy too. Look at that, he just knees him.
Well, I mean, he's a very short guy. Like, what is he going to do? If he punches, he's going to clear him completely. Dude. So it starts fighting the guys, but they overwhelm Alan Moore and his crew. And so they get tied down, very sexy, and they bring out their idiot Ray. And they're going to get all the knowledge they need from him. Mm-hmm. But Alan Moore, Super Chad, he manages to just, they don't really explain it. He just kind of gets himself out.
So explodes his anti-gravity disc, but they don't explain how.
Sure.
And how he was able to move around after it was gone.
And this is the one part where he actually acknowledges the woman, but he doesn't seem happy about it.
No.
He uses her as a shield.
He reluctantly frees her and tells her, you had better not fuck up this escape.
So these aliens have have rays for everything. One of the rays is their truth ray. The truth ray will have everyone... tell the truth about anything, but afterwards it makes them dumb. So the only reason that the aliens didn't use it is because they were too lazy to do the work that they on the spaceship that they would learn from using the truth ray. They instead took the risk of these people escaping just so they wouldn't have to do any repairs of the ship themselves.
Yeah. This is the origin of the planet Thyroid. That's how they got there.
And Alan Moore grabs this little fella and throws him out a window.
He throws him out like a porthole window. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, right? Fuck you.
Literal dwarf tossing is going on.
So then they start running away, and he is chastising this woman to run faster.
Yeah, run faster, woman! He shoves her and just starts pushing her
forward.
Get them knees up!
Like, dude. It's not her fault. It's not her fault that she's in the middle of your whole love triangle thing.
I don't even have an anti-gravity device anymore. Get moving. What if he takes hers and starts dragging her? Because she can't move anymore, so he grabs her by her legs and starts dragging her as he's running.
I honestly think he would have just... I'm surprised they didn't abandon her. So they get into their ship, and they fly away. And as they're flying away, they did something. They released signal bombs, because it turns out that this entire race is made of flexible silica. And so he figures, oh, well, a little bit of vibration fucked them up. If I drop some basically vibration bombs on them, I'll basically turn them all into glass and fuck up their whole society. And he does.
Mm-hmm. Commits a genocide and leaves.
Mass genocide.
Mass genocide.
Arrive, fuck shit up, leave.
Yeah, the universe is so big, it doesn't matter. Didn't even matter.
Nothing matters.
God's not even going to notice.
Nope.
And then the last panel, the professor and Alan Moore are trying to have a conversation, and the lady is sitting between them.
And they're like looking, leaning past her so they can talk, like you're trying to talk to your buddy at a baseball game, but you got this person in between you.
And it ends with Alan Moore looking at the professor and saying, I'm anxious to see your home. And she could not be less happy about this development.
It's always weird about going to baseball games and going to movies is like if you're going with three people, someone's sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
So now that person in the middle has to have two conversations.
Well, I think what you should do in that situation is you should go wide instead of long. You should take up the first two seats of two rows.
Oh, yeah. That's probably
that's
for the
what
best.
You should do. Yeah, that's what you should do. You shouldn't want to be leaning over people.
No.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Then we got one more story. It's called Escape to Death.
which sounds like a terrible Man of War song.
Oh, my God. That was dead on, but we'll get to that in a minute. this was art by Basil Wolverton, possibly also scripted by Basil Wolverton. This is the physical antics of this dude. So in this story... this guy named Tough Guy Trask.
Yeah, who's in prison for a reason.
He's in prison for wearing a muscle shirt and
shorts. He's got a jean vest that shows off his abs, and he's got some super short jorts with a belt Steve Austin style.
It's a half vest. He's showing off midriff. He's got short shorts.
He's one of those cats who like has fair skin but never uses sunscreen, so after a while they just are permanently red.
Yes. So it turns out that this dude killed a space patrol officer killed a cop. He was part of the Space Force, which is, as we all know, the most illustrious organization of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get that Space Force going. So he is now in this jail on one of Jupiter's moons, and he's thinking, boy, I'm too smart to go to jail. I shouldn't be in here. This fucking sucks.
He's drawn like in the first panel, he's drawn like he's in Aeon Flux.
Yeah, very extended limbs. The anatomy, because if you just imagine his skeleton, it's impossible. Yeah,
right.
It's super bizarre.
Shay, you're pretty young. Do you know what I'm talking about, Aeon Flux?
The MTV cartoon?
Yeah, the MTV cartoon.
With the weird-ass animation?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the movie? Weird the Charlize limbs. Theron movie?
Not so much the
movie.
Oh,
yeah. They did make a movie, but I don't think anybody cared.
I've only seen a couple episodes, though, one or two.
The only reason people liked the cartoon is how weird it looked.
It was super weird.
Like, they took away the one thing that made it interesting.
Yep. In the 90s, you could watch Aeon Flux and Beavis and Butthead and that show about that dude with the big head. Remember that? Yeah. What was that about?
I don't know. What was it? Duckman?
Duckman was the shit.
The Max? Wasn't that on MTV?
Yeah, the Max. You could watch the Max, yeah.
Dr. Katz,
professional therapist. Yeah, classic, still holds
up. You were
going
to say Medicine Woman.
Spawn?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, Spawn. Oh, Spawn, man.
Spawn for a little while.
Great.
Or for just a little while. But none of that is relevant to anything. What are we even talking about? Stupid.
Remember this? Fuck
we
me.
We just went,
don't waste my motherfucking time!
No, we went full millennial nostalgia moment.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Oh, my God. We should have brought Mario Brothers 3, too, while we were
We didn't even say any content about it. Like, there was nothing. We didn't offer anything. We just
people listening right now are going like, I remember.
Yeah, it was total member berries. That's what I was saying. Total member berries.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So this bro, so tough guy Trask, he sees this other Martian. Doesn't look like the Martians we saw in the other store, by the way.
Yeah, it's a different kind of Martian.
And he tells this Martian, hey, man, you trying to get out of here? And the Martian goes, I don't have to tell you shit.
Yeah, right.
And he says, but, you know, just for your record, I'm getting out of here the next time another ship comes by with new prisoners. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
He goes, that's a good plan.
Well, he says, like, stop lying. Martian's too fucking dumb to escape. He says that.
Yeah.
He says they can't get out of here. And so the Martian goes, oh, yeah, buddy, how's this for dumb? And he pulls out a gun.
It's a gas gun.
He's got a Martian gas gun.
Uh-huh. That could just mean that it's like a normal gun, but it's powered by like some kind of gas that only exists on Mars.
Was there some sort of comics code to where the guns couldn't have bullets?
Comics code
not back
probably
then.
Wouldn't have been a thing in 1952. No, yeah, I don't think it started yet.
Back then everyone was gay too. All the characters were gay, and that's why they made the comics code.
Hey, when you guys were in school, did any bullies ever hold you down and give you a Martian gas gun? I gotta admit, maybe tougher.
The only thing I really remember from school is that there was a drink people used to get from a vending machine called a Fruitopia.
Yeah, that's still a thing, dude.
They still make Fruitopia? Oh my God. That was the drink to have back in high school.
That was the drink.
Yep.
So while Tough Guy Trask and this Martian are yelling at each other, Warden sees this. And he goes, hey, the Martian and the cute little twink, stop fighting.
Yeah.
And this is a twink. Goes, like, can we agree?
No.
This is a
leather face.
Not
man.
At all.
Dude,
he's got so much sun. Look how wrinkly his head is.
Zero. There is zero things that are twink about this
man. Cute blonde hair, his top ramen hair, like he's in NSYNC.
Now he looks like one of those vintage pro wrestlers, like Gorgeous George. You know, where they were like, they look like they were 50-year-old men, but they were like 20 years old. That's what he looks like.
I'd say he's too lean. He's too taunt.
He looks like Harley Race.
wrestling in a parking lot somewhere.
This guy's Dusty Rhodes.
All right, he is in much better shape than Dusty Rhodes.
Right, that guy wrestled for a long time.
Yeah.
I think he looks like Ric Flair.
Yeah, Ric Flair is probably who I'm thinking of. Ric Flair today.
Yeah.
Looks like he fell into a solar flare. He's so fucking scorched on his skin.
I know, dude.
And so they're working, and Tough Guy Trask is like, oh, dude, I'm going to fucking kill that dude and steal his gun.
Yeah, right? Right, that's smart.
And so, you know, they're working one day, and as they're walking on a bridge, he just fucking pushes them in.
Yeah. I love the look of fear on his face, like, as he's falling.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. It's little shorts.
Where did he get? Oh, and then he goes down to where he fell and grabs his gun.
Insult to injury.
So he's just there with a bunch of Martians.
Yeah, I guess they're all Martians. Because in theory, they're from all different places, but they seem to be all just different Martians. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then the spaceship lands, and a bunch of new prisoners show up, and they're from all the planets of the solar system.
I was going to say, I think they're all just green, but different aliens. I think the inker just got lazy.
Yeah. Well, he only had so many colors.
Yeah. So, yeah, this new spaceship arrives, and it drops off people from all over the solar system again. Yeah, I think they didn't really know if there was anything beyond the solar system.
Look how sad the first guy is, the fish man. Yeah.
There's a fish man.
Yeah,
he's,
look how
I'm
sad he is.
He's probably
going to
from
a prison planet.
And but then the blue guy behind him with the long neck doesn't care.
So the fish guy is probably from Pluto. The guy with the long neck, maybe the fish guy's probably from Neptune. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the long neck guy is probably from Pluto.
Well, how would they be from Neptune when it's a gas planet? There's nowhere to go.
Is Neptune all gas? I know Jupiter is.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the sea connotations.
Saturn is too.
I'm just thinking about Neptune
Uranus.
As in the god Neptune.
Like they're all gas planets.
Oh, well.
I know a lot about the planets.
Human from the best planet, Earth.
Yeah,
woo!
That guy.
Earth.
Earth, dude.
All the wrestlers come from Earth.
Dude, all the wrestlers come from Earth.
God, name your favorite wrestler. Guarantee you he's
Macho
from Earth.
Man Randy Savage, Earth.
From Earth. Earth. All of them are Earthlings.
John Cena's from Earth.
John Cena is definitely from Earth.
Right, even though you can't see him there.
Yeah, even though he's in it, he's completely unobservable.
The Gravedigger.
Mankind.
Fuck you, Shay. Fuck off. You did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. I'm offended. You know wrestlers.
So, all right. Tough guy Trask takes out his gun, and while all these prisoners are being unloaded, he starts killing and shooting all the Jupiter moon wardens.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Successfully kills them all and jumps into the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
But he realizes before he even gets the controls, a bald man on the TV goes like, hey, this is an automated ship, dummy.
Yeah, it's just going to go back to Mars. And he goes, well, that's fine. I'll just get out of Mars and kill a bunch of people there. I don't give a shit.
He's like, I'm going to turn the oxygen off. And then he turns the
TV off. It's already been turned off.
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right.
Oh, fuck.
And the guy suffocates. He goes, I'll kill myself first.
So I'll shoot myself
first.
Michael
Richards at the end of that series he's doing for NBC.
Yeah, I just saw that headline. I'm not sure if it's even really happening.
Are you sure? Yeah, it wasn't an April Fool's?
No, I think it was a legit headline.
Or a wonderful dream.
Who knows if it'll ever even happen? I don't know. Yeah, and so then he just dies in space.
Right. Yep.
That's the end of our book.
Yep. I love his face at the end here. Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good death face.
Yeah, it's a good
It's not quite EC Comics grotesque, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all we got. That's the end of the book. Mm-hmm. What do we think of the future?
I loved the future. I can't wait to get there.
Yeah, future's pretty sweet. Shay?
I don't understand the future.
Yeah,
that's because you're a boomer.
Yeah, if you think you understand the future, then you don't understand the future
I'm
at all.
An unfrozen caveman.
Yeah, I'll take that Tesla chip in my brain so I can communicate with the other humans.
Hell yeah, the Neuralink, let's do
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I liked all the hunks. 4 out of 5 Martian gas guns. Yeah,
I like tough guy Trask.
Yeah.
It was his jean outfit.
I almost introduced myself as Tough Guy James at the start of the show, but I figured that was too deep in the...
It was too deep. I wouldn't have known.
Too deep in the story, yeah. It was like, well, yeah, it's not going to make sense. You got to stick around for an hour and a half to know what the fuck we're talking about.
I think Tough Guy Trask is going to stick around for a bit. I like him too much.
I do like Tough Guy Trask.
He's beat red from not wearing sunscreen. He wears a he wears a cropped jean vest. I love this dude. And he's in prison.
He's in prison for murdering a space cop.
Yeah, because I got fucked around and found out. That's what you're in jail for.
All right. Well, that was fun. I think it's time to talk about next time.
Yeah.
Next time.
It's time for Batman.
It's a very special Batman episode. It's thank God Batman here to finally fucking save us. We do a Batman episode every 10th episode, and it seems like it's been way too long as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. So that's probably the last time people listen to this show.
Yeah, dude. We need something propping up the middle. Something sagging. Like a little sagging in the middle.
Right.
But we've got some great options on here.
This bridge collapse of a podcast.
Held up by Batmans and Supermans and Spidermans.
Uh-huh.
It can't be every episode, people. No. Sometimes it's weird tales of the future. Just gotta be okay with that.
It's like talking to your kid.
Sometimes you gotta eat your veggies. But no, we're having candy next time. Candy dinner.
So I hope we get. I hope we land on one of those weird World's Finest that you showed me the other day.
Yeah, there's a. So we only have 12 options on here. All Batman. Actually, it's a pretty good mishmash of different Batmans. It's Brave and the Bold. It's Man-Bat, Batman and the Outsiders, different decades. There's a good collection. World's Finest. Yeah, it's a good collection. It's a good smattering. I don't really think there's much in the way of Batman koala books. Our term when Batman steps in front of a ray and turns into a koala or
those
a
are the ones
I
like to do the best though.
Yeah, but they're so repetitive. Like, I'll be honest, it's been a while. I would be okay with one right now.
Basketball's repetitive.
Basketball is very repetitive. The only one I don't think I would.
All sports are.
All sports are great. I think the only one I probably wouldn't enjoy is Legends of the Dark Knight 94, because even though I haven't read that issue, Legends of the Dark Knight was usually a good book, and I don't
really
want
do with
any
that?
Quality. Yeah, I
what
just
do you
want
do
shit.
That?
Just want garbage.
Yeah, I just want weird tales.
So, yep, that's what's going to come up probably. But, yeah, I think we've got a lot of good... I mean, worst case scenario, we have a legitimately good comic book.
Yeah,
so,
I guess we'll just talk about how cool Batman is.
Yeah, so we got to listen to a little spinning music, as we always do. This comes from Born Too Late. Sent us a lot of great spinning songs. And speaking of Manowar...
Oh, is it? Okay.
Oh! Yeah.
All right.
It's Wheels of Fire.
Oh, Wheels of Fire rips.
Of a Rob Halford
Man
thing.
Of War, I tell you what, man, they really it does a good job expressing how it feels to have like mania.
Yeah. Man of War, where only a couple of the members are super problematic. Not all of them.
Yeah, I think it was like at least two.
One was very problematic.
Yeah,
and
he went
I don't
to
want
jail
to talk
for,
about it.
He had like child porn on his computer.
Yeah, pretty bad. Ooh. Pretty fucking dark.
So he's out.
He's gone.
Out of the band.
I mean, that's, what else do you do? You kick them out. You're like, you know.
I mean, Manowar is like, we're lucky they're not all that way. Look at Manowar.
All right. This is definitely a spinnable song, though, so let's see what's coming up next time.
I still love Manowar, though, regardless. Yeah. I still like Pantera despite all the stuff Phil Anselmo did.
Here we go. Oh. Okay. All right. We're going back in time. Batman number 184.
Maybe it's a koala book.
Where are Batman and Robin?
Oh, this will be great.
From 1966. All right. It says on the cover of it. It says Batman.
Mike chose this because it looks like it's covered in cum.
Probably
their heads do look like they're covered in ropes, thick ropes. It says Batman for 13 jittery nights, the bat signal blazes in the sky for 13 desperate days, the hotline remained unanswered. Where are Batman and Robin? They're in cobwebs, not jism. Not even they know. It says, all right, this is not the funniest cover, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not a hilarious book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, this isn't the one. I honestly don't remember this one. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember putting it on there.
What? This is from 19.
And there's no stupid joke in the description, so it wasn't me. Yeah.
1966. No, I think this came from you. I don't look. Things show up on the wheel now that I honestly don't think any of us put there.
Mm.
Like I don't know what's going on, but like this Weird Tales of the Future, none of us have any memory of. So I don't know. All right. I'm sure this is going to be great. It always is. The Batman ones are always good.
Mm-hmm. Or if Batman and Robin are in this, they might
They may not be. They, or maybe they got a John Cena situation. We just can't see them.
Oh, right.
Also, there is no and in this. It just says, where are Batman Robin?
Yeah, Batman Robin.
Well, they are kind of merged together.
Where Batman
person.
Are Robin?
Where yeah. be Batman Robin?
Where Batman or Robin?
Hey, yeah, Batman Robin, where you Robin. At?
Where Batman or Robin, but they said R instead, and they didn't want to go back and fix it in chat.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that sounds lazy. Low effort. Ooh, okay. Looking forward to it.
Hotline.
Batman, yeah, back when they had the red phone.
That makes me think of hot sauce.
Yeah, let's just eat hot sauce while we read this book. It's going to be post-marathon for me, so I can just torture my body. I can do anything I want to it. I can put anything into it.
Good for you, James. You're such an achiever.
Yeah, you know what my thinking was? You run one marathon, and you're a guy who ran a marathon, but you're not a marathon runner.
Yeah, you do two, you are, and then you can give up.
Then you can call yourself a marathon runner,
and then ride that for the rest of your life.
Then you can kill yourself.
Kill yourself, Michael Richards style.
Yes, Michael Richards ran a double marathon. Michael, I'm calling it now. Michael Richards is going to run a double marathon and then kill himself at the finish line.
What if he something bad happens and he kills Jerry Seinfeld while he's making that show?
Can we stop talking about killing? Except for about OJ, because he did it.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, the OJ spirit is in all of us now. OJ died, and his killing spirit released.
Are you trying to say that O.J. Simpson died for us?
Yes, he died for us.
What if Michael Richards says the N-word on this new Jerry Seinfeld show, but before he does, he's stopped by Hulk Hogan?
Who wants to say it even harder?
He like puts his hand over his mouth and goes, "Don't say it, brother." Thanks, Hulk.
Everything worked out fine for Hulk. He did it, and then he just got to keep going being Hulk Hogan. Like, no one stopped
and
him.
And bring down that company.
Bring down what company?
Yeah, which one? WCW?
Gawker, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, he brought down Gawker. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll keep an eye on Hogan news. Don't you worry.
Michael Richards news.
Yes, we'll start up a Michael Richards report as well. All the problematic celebrities of your youth.
Who other famous white guy said the N-word on TV? Let's get them all.
No. I mean, George Carlin, but he was making a point.
I mean, yeah. I'm
prepared to cut him a check.
He's dead anyway.
Cut him a break. Cut him some slack.
We can't harm him. Yeah. He's already dead.
Well, he made that new AI special. It was pretty good.
No, he didn't make it. God made it to remember
as God makes all things. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that wasn't the book I expected to come up, but you know what? I'm betting it's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be great. Every comic is great.
It's going to be great.
Shay, give us some plugs. Get us out of here.
Yeah, you remember.
Okay. Everybody think about sexy Bernie Sanders and listen to more episodes using any podcast app that you can possibly find. Any.
Please continue.
And you can also find our episodes at darksidescouch.com. You okay, Mike?
That's, you know, whatever. Just dropping some bombs for later.
What'd you say?
You'll hear it later.
Great.
Please continue.
And I was going to say, use your big brains and follow Dark Side's Couch on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, Discord, YouTube. Okay. Keep up with all of our episodes and more.
I think our oxygenators are running out.
Yep.
I'm so fucking tired.
All right. All right.
Yeah, Shay was held hostage on the train today.
I was. Yeah,
we're doing this a little later than we might normally do because we're all slappy.
We're past Shay's bedtime.
They had a gun to her head, and me and James are like, messenger, like, where the fuck are you?
We're going to start the show without you. No. We're glad you survived, Shay. You survived another day in the hellhole that is the Chicago CTA. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody, any final thoughts?
I hope all my tales in the future will be weird.
Shay.
Did you hear it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't even want to end the fucking show now. I had one line left. Ta-ta for now, Cushion Crusaders. We'll talk to you next time on the
couch. Nice doggy. Nice doggy.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
I'm a big dog. I do